here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Pleased to be joined right now by one of the two cheerleaders who are here with us tonight, Emily over here, and of course, Romy, who is here to help us talk about the calendar release special. Now, that it's this Tuesday. It's coming up from 6 to 9 o'clock. You can find complete details on DenverBroncos.com if you want to attend. But this calendar release is kind of like y'all's Super Bowl, isn't it? You guys put so much work into it, then you finally get to put it out. And those pictures, it's incredible. But you guys say it yourself, see what they turn out like.
Yeah, well, we actually haven't seen the final result yet. So we get to see it the same as everyone else. So Tuesday is kind of our reveal as well. But we put so much work into how we look, how we feel for that calendar photo. And it's around all year and for eternity.
That's right.
So it's really exciting to see the hard work pay off. And
so this year you guys went down to Mexico. Right?
Yes, we went to Riviera Maya, Mexico.
Riviera Maya, Mexico. So you just maybe woke up at 10, sat around the pool, took a picture, and that was it, right? That was the day?
Well,
No, the complete opposite.
My call was actually 2 a.m. So I went to bed at 11. Woke up at 1, was in hair and makeup at 2 a.m., and then I had a sunrise shot. So not too much sleep, but fun.
Definitely a good time. It's something you guys do every year. I know whether it's someone like you, who this is your sixth year after taking 5 years off, or it's Emily in her third year, or for the rookies, this is the first chance for you guys to all really get together, work hard together, and then you can look forward to what it's going to be like cheering for the season, right?
Absolutely. It's our first time to really get to know each other as a team and spend time with all 26 women. There's not a lot of opportunities and events that we do everything together. So this is one of the few, both the calendar and the calendar release party. So it's an exciting moment for us.
So look, why not spend 3 hours on Tuesday night hanging out with all the Denver Broncos cheerleaders? They're all going to be in good moods because they're putting out the new calendar. And, of course, at 6 to 9 o'clock, you can find more details on how to attend on DenverBroncos.com. I hope it goes well.
Thank you so
much. Hope it goes well. We'll see you later on down the road. That's Romy, one of the Denver Broncos cheerleaders. Plenty more coming up here on Broncos TV Live from training camp. We'll be right back.
It was good, settled in, kind of had a rough, not rough start, but, you know, a little jittery, a little nervous, got back to playing football and got back to fundamentals, and I think everyone did across the line.
And just went out there and, you know, just played the game that I've been playing since I was 7 years old. It was cool, you know, just to be with my teammates and just see all the preparation, you know, pay off that we've done, you know, for training camp and OTAs and rookie mini camp, and now just being in this moment, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, just soak it all in and really cherish it.
On the road in Seattle, this is the NFL, anything kind of like that?
A little bit, but nothing, you know, you got to keep that in check. I think that comes along with being a professional and just trying to, you know, realize that this is your job and this is what is expected of you.
I think it went pretty good. Definitely room for improvement, but overall, it was solid. I think it took us a little bit to get flowing, but once we got flowing, I felt like we performed pretty well in the first half.
You know, there's a lot of plays I think, you know, I'd go back and do over. I don't think I've ever played a game where I haven't had that feeling. But I thought as a unit, you know, as an offensive unit, I thought we played pretty well. You know, I thought up front we played pretty well. And that's kind of all, you know, you can ask for at the end of the day.
Everybody is excited because it is finally football season and we're waiting for the first on-field sample size to come out on tape, and we all got a chance to see it. Broncos beat the Seahawks 22-20 in what Nate Palmer touched on. A tough environment on the road, in the rain, on-field turf. The 12 showed up. It was loud, and it was a great test. And as Coach Kubiak said in the locker room after the game, he doesn't care if it's the preseason. A win is a win. That's why you go out there and play. Let's talk about some things, guys, that we learned from that game. And let's start with what Brock Osweiler was able to do. Andrew, you said a pregame. You said this was his chance to show Coach Kubiak, John Elway, and Broncos fans what he could be capable of, knowing he rode the bus to the stadium starting that game.
Certainly, and knowing that he was going to work with mostly a first-team offense, obviously. Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders did not play, but the offensive line was the first unit. C.J. Anderson was in there at the start, and he played the entire first half. 15 of 20, but I think to really look at his night, you go beyond the numbers. A lot of good decisions. An improved feel in the pocket. The thing I see from Brock Osweiler now that maybe wasn't there a couple of years ago is that he does a better job of anticipating the pass rush and getting away from it. Looked very comfortable in this scheme, very comfortable moving around, made a lot of good decisions, knew when to throw it away when it wasn't, when the play wasn't playing. And finally, that touchdown pass to Virgil Green at the end of the first half. Beautiful, down the seam in the red zone. Couldn't have done that any better. I know he would have liked to have had more touchdowns, but certainly 5 scores in 5 possessions. Can't complain.
No, you can't when he set up those points, those scoring opportunities, whether for Connor Barfman or for Virgil Green. Phil, you shot the game keying on the O-line for that majority of that first half because we all knew how important that would be. There you go. You're looking at that new arrangement of Matt Paradis to Max Garcia to Tyson Brillo over there. And those guys holding up on the road for the first time, I think you ask them, you talk to them afterwards. They felt, as far as the first chance goes, did it okay.
Yeah, well, it was a tough atmosphere. I mean, we just heard from Nathan Palmer that, hey, you could barely hear each other in the huddle. And for an atmosphere like that, they said that they thought they felt pretty good.
Right.
A couple of plays. I mean, like, Osweiler got sacked on the second offensive play of the game. But after that, you get some of those jitters out of the way, and it looked like they kind of held up there. And, you know, for your first game for Tyson Brillo and Max Garcia, they did pretty well. And, of course, Matt Paris first game starting. And you want to see that unit kind of gel together. I mean, that's something that Gary Kubiak talks about, that you want cohesiveness. And I thought that you kind of saw them settle down and play pretty well after that.
And very impressive, I think, in run blocking. And the way this offense is structured, I think that part's going to click first. But they looked like they were in sync. You saw big holes for Ronnie Hillman and Monte Ball and Ronnie making some plays on the outside. When I saw Ronnie getting around the edge and then Tyson Brillo kicking upfield, he's 5 yards up looking for a man to block and taking out a guy. That's vintage Broncos football right there.
Right, and it was great to see them take what they worked on all during camp, whether it was those inside or outside runs, and bang, you saw it right there. Even though you said it wasn't against Seattle's first team, those front seven for most of the game, but who cares? This is their first chance to go out there and try it too. You did see those runs. Brock Osweiler knew that was going to be his chance. He got it. Peyton Manning went through his normal pregame routine. He had his ankles taped. He had his knee brace on. You want to make sure he's all set to go for what will most likely be some good time against Houston. You don't want his first road game to be at Kansas City in Arrowhead Stadium. But in terms of kind of kicking the tires on that first group and waiting to get not just Peyton, but DT, Emmanuel, OD, get those guys back in there, we'll probably see some more of that going into Houston.
Yeah, and I think also for the offensive line back together in Houston, it's going to be a big week because if you're going to have Peyton Manning starting, you're going to have J.J. Watt on the other side. That's the first really massive challenge for this offensive line, particularly Max Garcia at guard. I think he's going to see J.J. Watt in front of him quite a bit, and it's going to be a good early test for him, and especially with what's on the line, keeping Peyton Manning healthy.
Let's not forget what happened on the other side of the ball. DeMarcus Ware didn't play. That doesn't matter because you know what? Von Miller did, and he showed everyone he's back out on the field. He's been doing a camp all season long, all summer long, pardon me. You saw a test. You saw an example of that right away against Seattle, and they talk about it afterwards.
Four-man pressure, quick pressure, and Archer's hit. The ball knocked free. It's bouncing around and rolls into the Seahawks sideline. Kenny and Aniki.
You know, just going out there flying around, learning. Just using all the techniques that Coach Kolar taught us, you know, and Coach Wade Phillips, you know, and just using it to get after our quarterback and be a menace in the backfield.
And our coach, Coach Phillips, does a great job of wanting us to be aggressive in everything that we do. So when we go out there, we just got the mentality that we just got to attack and just keep coming, keep trying to get after quarterback, and I think we did a really good job tonight.
Talk about people who flashed. It wasn't just who you thought would, Von Miller, but also Shane Ray. He also flashed. Then guys who we couldn't wait to see take the field, Kenny and Aniki. We saw Shaq Barrett, Zaire Anderson, other guys who also made plays. I mean, everybody was out there doing what they said would be doing all season.
Yeah,
all
I think that's the big
around.
Thing. You know, you saw what we've heard about for the whole, you know, offseason program,
right?
That Wade Phillips is going to let these guys go after the quarterback, and we saw them do that. Kenny and Aniki, Shaq Barrett, all of these guys were going after the quarterback, doing their job, and not only getting pressure on the quarterback, but also forcing turnovers, forcing fumbles, and you like to see that kind of aggressiveness from your defense.
And working well together, you saw so many times where, you know, someone would draw double team, or, you know, on the inside, it would set up someone on the outside, and vice versa. And there was also some creativity to the pressure. You'd see some guys drop back that you wouldn't expect to, and Seattle really couldn't get a good read on where pressure was coming from. And that's the exciting thing about this defense, and it's kind of ironic that for the Broncos defenders, this scheme is simpler, but to an opponent, it actually looks more complex because of some of the different things they're throwing at them. It's the best of both worlds.
I think you just blew my mind with that. There you go. That's exactly what the disguise. That's what they wanted to do. And they got a chance to show that right away. That's what Andrew thought about the game. That's what Phil thought about the game. That's what I thought about the game. We got Joel Dreesen here, who watched the game and is going to tell us what he saw from Coach Gary Kubiak and the Broncos against Seattle. We got one more segment left here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Be right back.